We've all gathered on this very somber and sad moment that has clouded our quaint, but very, thank God, populated Jewish community here in Seattle. We lost a true soldier, a true fighter, a gibor. Someone who was brave, indescribably brave. Loved by so many, cherished, endeared by his family. And frankly, aren't many words created in the English language or any language really to describe the magnitude of how he was loved and cherished by so many people. Ilya Gamel was born May 23rd, 1969. He was only 55 years old. He was born to his parents, Eli, of blessed memory, and Doris Gamel. May she continue to be well. He is survived by his dear wife, Cynthia, their wonderful children, Shimon, Joseph, and Paulina, loving siblings, Mishaela and Sasha. We're between the holiday of Passover and Shavuot, and we're all aware of the custom in our Sephardic community anyway, to read one of the greatest works of the Mishnah between Pesach and Shavuot, as we anticipate the holiday of Shavuot, the time of Matan Torateinu, when all of the Jewish people were at Mount Sinai receiving the law, the revelation from God. And we read these beautiful chapters from Pirkei Avot, and it's hard, and they're not legal mandates, rather they are advice on how to live your life. They reflect the lives of the Tanaim. They reflect the lives of the redactors, the rabbis of the Mishnaic period. It's hard not to find one that doesn't reflect Ilya, because he led such an upstanding life. Hillel, the great sage, said, "Al tifrosh min hatzibur," do not separate yourself from the community. It was referring to a national community, the Jewish people, Israel. Certainly Ilya would never even think of doing that. Yet even locally, Ilya did everything to be part of the community, to help the community, never separate himself or his family, do everything to make the community stronger in every place with every Jew. Ve'al ta'amin be'atzmecha ad yom motecha. Don't be so sure of yourself, even to your last day on this earth. Don't be so certain that you will always be the same, that all of the strengths that you have right now are going to stay with you forever, that all of the knowledge that you have obtained is going to be with you forever. Don't rely on that. Continue to grow. Continue to study. Continue to develop. Continue to do everything that you've been doing. Don't be so sure. That was Ilya. Never rested on his laurels. Never took anything for granted. Ve'al tadin et chavercha ad shetagia limkomo. Do not judge chavercha, any of your dear friends, or any human being, until you are exactly them. Do not criticize. Do not judge them, because everybody is unique. You don't know what everybody else is going through. Ilya never did that. He always gave everybody the benefit of the doubt, with a smile on his face. Ve'al tomar lichsheipane eshne shema lo tipane. And don't think, don't say to yourself, one day I'm going to study. One day I'm going to learn more about being Jewish. One day I'm going to try to study the Torah and really try to understand how we're supposed to live our lives. They say, don't do that. Shema lo tipane. Maybe that opportunity will never come. In other words, do it now. That was Ilya. He did not waste time. He studied diligently. He studied with integrity. And he lived and breathed all of these things which I just said. King Solomon wrote in the book of Mishlei in Proverbs, Nefesh beracha tidushan umarveh gam hu yoreh. A blessed and a giving and a generous soul will also be blessed with prosperity. And one that runs to abundantly satisfy others, shall he himself be blessed with abundance. And the abundance with which Ilya and Cynthia were blessed with, they used that blessing to give to others. It was not for just themselves, but to give to everybody else, not just monetarily, but of their hearts, of their minds, and of their selves, and of their love. Ilya had this great personality. He could walk into a room, smile. He was filled with energy, filled with happiness, and he would just greet you with a great sense of joy. He would never unload his problems onto you. And when you think about that, how unselfish could that be? You know, when you tell, it's relieving to tell someone else, to tell your friends, to tell anybody who will listen what you're going through. Even before he became ill, he was just always concerned of the other person. It's so easy to tell other people what you're going through or your trials and tribulations. You unload it. But by doing so, you might be helping yourself, but you're also putting a perhaps unwanted burden on a friend, even though they probably don't mind and they want to help you. He would never want to impose on anyone else. That's the ultimate of unselfishness. He kept things not to himself to be bottled up, but because of his consideration for other people. Even if I'm not perfect, I'm not perfectly happy right now, and I'm not saying he ever wasn't, or if I'm going through some issue, he didn't want to give that problem to you. Everything that Ilya did, he did full bore. There's no halfway. And he did it with perfection and with great skill. He mastered every undertaking. He didn't do things halfway. He didn't want to, he would rather not have done it than to do it any other way except perfectly. Ilya was a very successful businessman, a great entrepreneur. He worked hard, he worked honestly, he dealt fairly with everybody, and he was quite a sharp and smart individual. Did you know that he was also an attorney? He has a law degree. Did you know that he built a successful portfolio of commercial properties? Did you know he was patient with everybody with whom he dealt? He was humbly selfless. Did you know that he was an individual of great precision? He did everything precisely. Besides it just being his nature, he honed in on all of his skills to be the best at what he could do. And when I'm talking with the family, even though I've known Ilya and Cynthia and the family for many, many years, I was so surprised when, I don't know if one of the kids told me or Cynthia told me, that he was a pilot. He flew a plane. From the Midwest, I go, one second, you mean he took lessons? He goes, no, he actually flew planes. I go, did he ever make any trips? And he said, yeah, like from the Midwest, he flew from the Midwest of the United States to Florida. I go, oh, but had somebody with him on the way? He goes, no, solo. He flew solo in a Cessna from the Midwest of the United States to Florida. I go, well, was it nonstop? The answer was absolutely not. He actually had to land, refuel, take off, and land again to get to his destination. And then I put two and two together. This man is a man who does not settle for general knowledge. He needs to have specific knowledge. And that skill that he learned while by being a pilot and learning how to fly a plane, it was when he was younger and not married, correct?
Oh, yeah.
That skill and those skills that he honed then followed him throughout the rest of his life with everything he did. Because you cannot kind of know how to fly. You need to know how to fly perfectly. And that was his skill set. That wasn't enough for him. After he learned how to fly, he became a flight instructor. So this was a side of Ilya that I did not know, but then it puts the puzzle together. He was a remarkable human being, intellectually and as a friend. The synagogue, you know, as we know, became, it's called a Mikdash Me'at. Like it's a mini Beit HaMikdash. We don't have the temple today in Jerusalem, but our synagogues, to each of our little synagogues or big synagogues, it becomes like a mini Beit HaMikdash. But to Ilya, the synagogue was his own personal Beit HaMikdash. He truly felt that whenever he was walking into the synagogue to pray, he truly felt that he was in the presence of God. That many synagogues have that at the top of the synagogue, know before whom you pray. Ilya, he absolutely embraced that. He understood what Da'at Lifnei Mi Ata Omed is. He loved tefillah. He loved to be in synagogue. He loved to read the Torah. He would read the Torah at the synagogue quite frequently, but especially on the second day of Yom Tov. That was his part. And I was so saddened when he didn't feel up to doing it. I would say, Ilya, are you going to read on Yom Tov? He goes, you know, I'm not feeling right now, maybe next time. But he loved it so much, and he read it again with precision. And if I asked him to do something that even if I felt he was sufficient enough to do, and I knew in my heart he was, to his standard, he would actually say, no, I go, Ilya, you know it. I know you know it. It was, no, there's one part I still want to perfect. And that's just the way he was. And I honored that. And that's who he was. Who can forget on Sukkot? Ilya would show up on Sukkot with these beautiful lulav and etrog and the aravot, his hadasim, the myrtle. We each had three attached to our lulav. Ilya looked like he had 300 attached to his lulav. And it was from, it wasn't 300, but it was quite the stock of Hadassim. And everybody marveled at it, and he did it with such pride. And he was embracing his Temani. He was embracing his Yemenite practices. And whoever didn't see Ilya and Cynthia in synagogue without their loving children. Very rare to see them walking past our home or walking in synagogue, and it was Ilya, Cynthia, and their young children, and even their older teenage children as the years went through, always in tow. And it was always coming from synagogue. I know Shimon and Joseph always sat by his side. They weren't the kids that the dad said, okay, I'm going to be here. You guys go out and play and come back for Adon Olam. They were at his side the entire time of Tefillah, just one right after the other. Such kavod that they gave their parents. And he loved being a Temani Jew. He loved his Yemenite heritage. He would engage in the dialectical components of Temani Hebrew from time to time. He would always tell me, if it was a holiday, we'd all say, Chagim, Uzmanim, Lesason. Ilya would not say Chagim, he would say Chajim. And I go, Ilya, I'll never forget that you're a Timani. He loved the customs and practices, the food, the culture, and was so proud of the Timani propensity towards the Mishneh Torah, the Maimonidean codification of Jewish law. When Ilya could not come to the synagogue so easily over these past months, he would still pray at home. And one of his joys in life was, over these last months, were his dear friends coming to pray in his living room with him, even if there wasn't a minyan. I know our good friend David Maimon and Menachem Maimon, and I'm sure there were others, so forgive me if I leave others out, but I know they for sure were there. They would go to the house and just say tefillah with Ilya and the family, and that would elevate his day. And I remember asking David one time, I go, David, that's so nice. You're telling him, I go, David, that's so nice. You go to pray with Ilya. I bet he really appreciates it. He goes, yeah. He goes, really, I'm going so I have as much time with him as possible. Sheer determination. That defines another trait of Ilya. Everything he did in life, whether he learned to be a pilot, teach someone to be a pilot, study Torah, build a successful business, volunteer in the community, or nurture himself back to health, he did it with sheer determination. His will to continue living and enjoying life was unstoppable. His strength to endure at the toughest times elevated him to levels known to those of great fortitude and strength. In every aspect of his life, he would never give up. To say that both Ilya and Cynthia had dear friends would be an understatement. He had friends and he had teachers. We know it says, Aseh lecha rav, ukneh lecha chaver. He believed with all of his might that a Jew needs to know how to proceed in life. What do things mean? You know, there's no Judaism 101 book when we're born, or as we get interested in our Jewish heritage or whatever interests us in Judaism, there's no book that tells us, you know, they give us the laws, they tell us the do's and the don'ts and how to enhance your life, but you don't see anywhere where it's written, oh, and one more thing, you need to be educated. It takes education, it takes knowledge to successfully navigate through the Torah. It's not a passive religion, it's not a spectator sport. So he would find himself teachers and he would study with them. And he would embrace their words and he would take it home and he would live by those words for his family and for his community. And then that same dictum says, Ukneh lecha chaver, and acquire for yourself a friend. And it uses a very strange verb, acquire, as if an acquisition. Kone means to purchase, or to own, or to create, rather. You have to purchase friendship. That seems odd. Is that kind of insincere? Not at all. To acquire friendship means you have to give of something of yourself to get something back from the person with whom you're trying to befriend. And that is the way life works. And it's not insincere at all. You're giving of your soul, of your heart, of your neshama to get the same back from the person to whom you're befriending. But in Ilya's and in Cynthia's cases, that should have been in the plural because they have so many friends and a very close circle of friends that they're like siblings. Cynthia remarked to me yesterday that she was so appreciative of living in this community and specifically of the tight friendships that she and Ilya had, and that it would have been impossible to get through what they endured without those close friendships. And the one word that permeated the room yesterday when we spoke of friendship was Ilya's loyalty. He was a loyal individual, a loyal friend to everybody that he befriended. Ilya loved his parents. His father, Eli, of blessed memory, passed some years ago. His mother, may she be well, Doris, may she continue to be well. Naturally, she is heartbroken. No parent should have to endure the pain that you must be feeling, Doris. Know that Ilya loved and adored you, as do all of your grandchildren. His memory and all the beauty that was his life and accomplishments in life, his love of life, his love for you and his family, all of this is going to bring you comfort. Know that in your heart. And may you know more sorrow. May you only have happiness going forward. Ilya was the youngest of his siblings. On a personal note, when I was a youngster, Ilya wasn't born at the time. I was actually in a carpool with Doris, and Eli would drive us to school, and some of my other friends, Mishaela also. It was the 60s. I remember his father carpooling us to school. I think he had a convertible, because I think we really had a thrill when he would put the top down. And Ilya got his joie de vivre from that side of the family, because it was excitement and fun. And I see these words, I see Mishaela after all these years, and Doris also. It brings back such memories of those years. But I didn't know Ilya then, because he wasn't born. It was just Mishaela and Sasha at the time. But Ilya was the youngest of those siblings. His dear older brother, Sasha, whom he loved, and his sister, Mishaela. And I understand from Mishaela, from others, that her reputation of being a loving sister really preceded her. She was a faithful guardian angel for Ilya, would not and could not bear to leave his presence, always wanted to know of his well-being. And even when she was in Seattle, their connection was without interruption, with love and much affection. The inimitable love received, you know, from the firstborn eldest sibling to her younger brother, is a unique bond that played out in their mutual lives until the end. And of course, Ilya's immediate family, those were part of his immediate family, but his immediate family after he married his dear Cynthia, the two of them raised wonderful children. Ilya adored his family. He saw to it that his children, both he and Cynthia, saw to it that their children would be educated in both school and life in general. Kids looked up to him, revered him, honored him, respected him, as they probably saw him do with his family, with his parents, and his uncles and his cousins. Ilya had a very special place in his heart for all of his family, for all of his uncles and aunts, cousins, but he had a very special place in his heart for his uncle Simon, who used to live here in Seattle. I remember him very well. Ilya loved Simon. Cynthia, you were the love of his life. And I know he was the love of your life. I know you deny it, Cynthia, but you have this cool, calm, and very dignified demeanor. You're too humble, though, to admit it. Together, both of you built a home, raised a family, role model children, and each of your children emulate the qualities of both of you. Shimon, Joseph, Paulina, each one of them has a smile that lights up the room. They're respectful. They have good senses of humor, just like their father. And probably you too, Cynthia. Kind to others, like their parents. And they have a wonderful circle of friends, devoted with much loyalty. You know what? Just like their parents. And Cynthia, you may not know it today, but they and everything about them will bring blessings and comfort to you. You will always know they are the legacy of you and Ilya. And they will forever be a reflection of the love, the life, and the gift of you and Ilya. You know, we have this beautiful saying, which unfortunately has to be used at times when there are mourners before us and we want to give them words of comfort, and we're really at a loss because the human condition is such that we don't have the ability, the talent, the wherewithal, nor the divine possibility to grant somebody comfort from their pain. So we admit it. We say we can't do it. And we have three simple words that we say to the mourners. Min hashamayim tenuchamu. That your comfort, your consolation will come from God. Because we know, we as Jews know, grief is an affliction that doesn't have an immediate cure. And the only one who could truly cure this affliction is God Almighty. And he does it each and every time. So we say it with much confidence and with hope that it will come soon. Min hashamayim tenuchamu. May God give you comfort soon. To the entire family, know that this loving community is here for you. May you see only berachot on the horizon. May you know no more sorrow in your lives. May you see happiness and joy and many simachot that light up your life for you, for your children, and for all who are dear to you. We will miss Ilya terribly. Tehei nishmato tzerura b'tzor ha'chaim b'gan Eden. May his soul rest in peace in Gan Eden. Amen. We will now have a few words from Joseph, his second son.
Start out and say thank you so much to everyone for being here. It really puts a big smile on my face to see how my dad just was with this community and was part of everyone's life. So to start off strong, my dad was my favorite person. He was my role model and he was my hero. It wasn't just that he put his blood, sweat, and tears into helping out everyone he could, it was that he did it with a smile. He made sure everything he did, he would just do it just radiating positivity. And it wasn't just putting a smile for himself, he would make sure that everyone around him was smiling too. And that's one of the first things I remember seeing my dad do. Just telling jokes and making people laugh. Telling dumb jokes was his favorite thing to do. And seeing other people laugh around him and making them happy was just the most important thing to him. And he made sure that Shimon, Paulina, and I knew how to do it too. He didn't like set us down and teach an improv class, but he would always just make jokes with us and make time in his day and introduce us to favorite comedies and just teach us how to make people laugh. And I grew up learning to make people laugh from him. And you can ask my family that I go around telling the same dumb jokes that he told. I probably don't tell them as well, but I try. And by far the best part of learning how to laugh from him was knowing which new jokes I came up with would make him laugh. Every time I heard a new joke, the first person I told it to was my dad. And any time I thought of someone that'd get him to chuckle, I'd run to him. And he'd know that I had a joke locked and loaded because I'd walk into the room with a stupid grin on my face. My mom would probably already be rolling her eyes. And my dad would just sit there at the edge of his seat waiting to hear what I had to say. And when I told him, he would just give me the biggest laugh. And if you ever got the chance to hear him laugh, like the real strong belly laugh that he had, you know there's just nothing like it. Sorry, it's allergies. I don't think I ever told him explicitly, but nothing was more important to me than making him laugh. I'm sure he knew it. taught me to be funny. He taught me to make people smile. So getting him to laugh at something I came up with made me feel so proud about myself. Even when his health got worse, he still couldn't stop himself from making jokes with me. Even during his last days when he could barely talk, I made some dumb joke to my mom while I was next to him, and I swear I heard him let out a small chuckle. Making him smile was the highlight of my life. And I'm just sad that I'll never get to hear him laugh with me again. I love you so much, Abba. You're my hero, and I miss you so much already. And I'm going to make sure that everyone I meet knows that you'll always be my role model and the best dad I could ever ask for.
Try to do this without crying too much. Ilya, I've been thinking a lot about you and about what I want people to know about you. You were my rock, you were my beacon, my light that guided me home. I knew that I could ask you any ethical question and you would help guide me to find the right answer. You pushed me to be a better version of myself. You challenged me, you made me laugh, you made me whole. My heart that was so full of love for you is broken in pieces. And I honestly don't know how I will ever truly mend my heart. You were supposed to be with me forever. We had plans to travel, plans to watch our kids grow up, make families of their own. We had plans, lots of them. And now I need to pivot. I need to take my broken heart and push forward for our beautiful children. Shimon Joseph and Paulina are the blessings that you left with me to keep me going. Without them, I would fall into a bottomless pit. But they need me and I need them. A lesson that was emphasized in our home was family first. We are gamels, we stick together. Ilya knew that together we can handle any challenge. I already feel us pivoting and pulling each other closer in together as a new unit. One of our limbs is gone. So we'll compensate. And we will morph, we will adapt, and we'll create a new whole unit that will stick together. Kids, your father loved you in a way I can't even describe. He instilled in you a love of Torah, a love of family, a love of life. His positivity would guide us on many adventures in our road trips or local hikes. He would make up games for you to play and stories to entertain you with. One of our favorites was playing going on a bear hunt at Coulomb in the off-beach Rolf Road area. The lesson in that book is one that I've been saying in my mind over and over again during this challenging time. You can't go over it, you can't go under it, I guess we'll have to go through it. I guess, kids, this is a challenge. And you know what? We can't go over it. We can't go under it. I guess we'll just have to go through it. Together we can do this, and together we will do this. I feel like, Ilya, I feel like over the months, I've said possibly every single thing I wanted to say to you. When you'd be in pain and finally fall asleep, I would whisper to you, you promised to make me the happiest woman, and you did. I'm glad you aren't suffering. I'm glad you allowed yourself the peace you so deserve. I'm so happy that my sister-in-law, Shayla, and my mother-in-law, Doris, were here this past week. While it was hard, stressful, and sad, we together loved him and comforted him. He knew you were here and he felt the love. to our family and friends, and really the whole community, we would not be able to get through this without you. Whether it's dropping something at the house, getting everything out of the house, driving to Portland to pick up the boys, or just smiling and listening as we cry our hearts out, we wouldn't be able to weather the storm without you. We are blessed and grateful. Thank you.